Chapter 8, The Science of Epigenetics for the Prevention and Reversal of Disease and Weight Issues. During my extensive research in the field of human health, I have found that proper nutrition is one of the three major keys in acquiring and maintaining health, with the other keys being a positive life attitude and a healthy external environment. Quite simply, all three of these keys to health affect the environment surrounding our cells by forming either a healthy one for our cells to thrive in or a destructive one, leading to disease and early death. If we supply our cells with a healthy, nourishing environment, they will thrive and flourish. On the other hand, if we supply our cells with an unhealthy, adverse environment, they will get sick, diseased, and slowly die. In 2007, scientists discovered the epigenome that basically tells us that the code of life is interactive. Your DNA is not your destiny. The epigenome is the record of chemical changes to the DNA and histone proteins of an organism. The DNA and histone proteins are carriers of genetic information of an organism. Changes to the epigenome can result in changes to the function of our genes. However, these changes can be reversed. Unlike our DNA sequence, which is largely stable within an individual, the epigenome can be dynamically altered by environmental conditions. The epigenome does not change the DNA, but it does decide how much and which genes are expressed in different cells of the body, which has major effects on every aspect of our being. Gene expression is due to lifestyle. Our body contains an estimated 37 trillion cells which contain DNA, but they do not do anything with DNA without instructions. Our genes get these instructions from the epigenome through DNA methylation or histone modifications to the DNA. DNA methylation acts like a switch for gene expression, turning it on or off. Methyl groups control expression by binding to certain bases of the DNA. Some methylation modifications that regulate gene expression are heritable and can silence the expression of certain genes from one of the parents. Histone modification acts like a volume knob for gene expression, turning gene expression up or down. Histones act as spools around which the DNA winds and can determine how tightly or loosely the DNA winds around them. If they are more loosely wound around the DNA, genes will be expressed more prominently. And if they are more tightly wound around the DNA, genes are less expressed. The presence of histone marks during gene transcription indicates that the gene expression is either being prevented or modified. Genes are expressed in result to our lifestyle. Gene expression responds to the cell's environment. Virtually any step of gene expression can be modified. The DNA within our cells remains the same throughout our lives, but the epigenetic tags change throughout our lives due to different factors, and they decide which genes get expressed and which do not. Epigenetic tags on the DNA can be passed down to the organism's offspring. Our diet forms the physical basis of the environment of our cells because the nutrients that come or don't come from our food source and our water supply either create a nourishing or an adverse environment for our cells. Our attitude also affects the environment of our cells because our mind interprets the situations that surround us and how we perceive our life situations. Our body will react in accordance with our beliefs and our perception of life. How we perceive situations will translate into stress in some people, but not in others. Our cells release specific hormones and neurotransmitters in result to how we view these situations, which will affect the environment of our cells. Our nutrition also affects the release of hormones and other chemical messengers throughout our body. Therefore, nutrition also has an indirect effect on the environment of our cells, as well as the direct effect of the nourishing environment of our cells with proper nutrients. Proper nutrition, a healthy state of mind, and a natural environment low in toxins have the power to change your core health as well as any symptoms that you may be suffering from, including a larger than desired waistline and all of the common modern-day Western world diseases of which we are all too familiar. Proper nutrition and a healthy state of mind affect your health more than your DNA due to the effects on your epigenome, and this is a fact. Environment has more influence on the health of a cell than the DNA of the cell because dietary choices and lifestyle choices have major effects on the epigenome. Only 10% of cancers are strictly hereditary. Hereditary cancers occur at a young age whereby the person inherits one mutant gene from the parents, which predisposes them to cancer. However, for a cancer to manifest, two mutations must occur, and the second mutation may result from mitotic error during many cell divisions that occur in a person's life. Hereditary cancers have a much higher incidence of multiple tumors. The remaining 90% of cancers arise sporadically from an unhealthy environment of our cells, which may be lacking in nutrients or burdened with poisons and waste products. We are not victims of our genes. Genes are potential and not the be-all, end-all of our existence. We now know that we can consciously create our world and not just react to it. We are creators of our world, not victims to it. In 1953, Watson and Francis Crick were the first scientists to formulate an accurate description of the DNA's complex double helical structure. This was a great stride in understanding the human genome and the importance of DNA to health and life. However, once they formulated the DNA description, Francis Crick suggested the theory, which he called the central dogma of molecular biology, that says that it is only one way from our DNA to our proteins that make up who we are. The meaning of the central dogma is that our genes are the creators of our life and we have no input. By thinking that we are made as we are from our genes, we can stop caring about what we do with our bodies because we believe that we cannot change our situation. We begin to believe that disease is our destiny and become apathic to our situation. We stop taking responsibility for our lives because we feel that we have no control over it. When this happens, people then find themselves relying on doctors and medications as a source of hope and relief. However, it recently became clear that the concept of the central dogma of molecular biology is far from accurate. Yes, genes are blueprints that make proteins, but we now know that these blueprints can be influenced in such a way that they produce entirely different results. Stem cells are undifferentiated biological cells that can differentiate into specialized cells and can divide to produce more stem cells. Stem cells act as a repair system for our body, replenishing adult tissues. Every day, cells die, and we replace these billions of cells that have died with new ones. If we take stem cells and place them on a petri dish with a cultured medium that we make as similar as possible to the fluids in the part of the body where the cells grow, the stem cells will multiply and create many of the same stem cells. We can then take the multiplied identical stem cells and separate them into different groups on separate petri dishes. Each group is then placed in a different culture medium. We will see that the cells would differentiate into different cells and form different tissues, for example, muscle tissue, fat tissue, bone tissue, etc. These cells show that the environment controls the destiny of the cells. To survive in a changing world, cells have evolved mechanisms through a flexible epigenome for adjusting their biochemistry in response to signals of environmental change. This allows us to adjust to changes in the world around us and to learn from our experiences. The epigenome changes in response to signals which come from inside the cell, also from our neighboring cells or from our external environment. An unhealthy diet, for example, can lead to methyl groups binding to unwanted places on the genome, leading to disease. Our lifestyle choices also affect our future generations through epigenetic tags on our DNA. It was also previously thought that whatever lifestyle choices we make during our lives will affect only our own health, our own waistline, and our own longevity, but they won't affect future generations or change our DNA. We were sure that when we had offspring, their genetic slate would be wiped clean of all of our non-beneficial lifestyle choices, and that we have no responsibility towards the health of future generations through our own choices. However, it is known that this is not the case. Some epigenetic factors have been proven to be hereditary. It is true that some epigenetic tags are stripped off the embryo's DNA before birth. However, now we understand that some epigenetic changes persist from generation to generation. If our grandparents ate in an unhealthy way, some of the epigenetic changes that occurred as a result of this are passed on to future generations. This was proven in the year 2000 by a group of Swedish scientists led by Dr. Lars-Olof Bygglund, a preventative health specialist at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm. They examined the population of a Swedish remote town of Norrbotten in the 1800s. Norrbotten is a remote area located in northern Sweden, nearly free of human life, with an average of just 2 people living in every square kilometer. Due to the land's isolation, if the harvest was bad or failed completely, people nearly starved to death. And if crops were abundant, then people ate abundantly. Dr. Bygglund and his team examined the data and looked at the long-term effects of feast years and famine years on children growing up in Norrbotten in the 19th century, as well as on their children and their grandchildren as well. They drew a random sample of 99 individuals born in the Overkalix parish of Norrbotten in 1905 and used very precise historical records that were well maintained by the Swedish government to trace their parents and grandparents back to birth. By meticulous analysis of the agricultural records, they determined how much food had been available to the parents and grandparents when they were young. They found that conditions in the womb affected the health of the child not only as a fetus, but also well into adulthood. They noticed that if a pregnant woman ate poorly, her child would have significantly higher than average risk for cardiovascular disease as an adult. Bygglund and his colleagues concluded that a parent's experiences early in their own lives can change the traits they pass on to their offspring. The results of this study shows that children who enjoyed those rare, plentiful winters and went from normal eating to gluttony in a single season produced children and grandchildren who lived much shorter lives. Once Bygglund and his team added socioeconomic variations to their research results, the difference in longevity jumped to an astonishing 32 years. Simply put, the data suggested that a single winter of overeating as a youngster could initiate a biological change of events that would lead one's grandchildren to die decades earlier than their peers. Not only can we ruin our own health by our lifestyle choices, it's becoming clear that those same bad choices can also predispose our children and our children's children, even before conception, to disease and early death. If you choose to smoke heavily or live a very sedentary lifestyle today, you will change epigenetic tags on your DNA that will not only affect you, but also the generations after you. It is thought that autoimmune disorders previously unrecorded and the diabetes and obesity epidemics of today are due to epigenetic changes that come from our grandparents and perhaps even their previous ancestors' lifestyle choices. The importance of epigenetic DNA methylation in altering the physical characteristics of an organism was proven in 2003 by Duke University oncologist Randy Jertl and his postdoctoral student Robert Waterland. They conducted an experiment on mice with a uniquely regulated agouti gene, a gene that makes the mice have yellow fur and a high tendency for obesity and diabetes. Jertl's team fed one group of pregnant agouti mice a supplemented diet with methyl donors, for example, folic acid, choline, vitamin B12, and betaine, and another group of genetically identical pregnant agouti mice on a diet without these methyl donor nutrient supplements. In the group of supplemented agouti mice, they found that the B vitamins acted as epigenetic methyl donors and caused methyl groups to attach more frequently to the agouti gene before they were born while still in the womb, thereby altering its expression. So without altering the genomic structure of mouse DNA and by simply supplementing their diet with B vitamins, they got agouti mothers to produce healthy brown mice that were of normal weight and not prone to diabetes and obesity. A subsequent study showed that the phytoestrogen genistein found in a number of plants, including fava beans, soya beans, and other legumes, also modified the fetal epigenome, altered the fur color, and protected the agouti offspring from obesity, even though it was not capable of donating a methyl group. This was followed by a study that showed that by supplementing the diet with genistein and methyl donor-rich foods, we could counteract detrimental epigenetic effects induced by the controversial xenobiotic chemical bisphenol A. In the first chapter of this book, I described how the human genome is so similar to that of apes. Dr. Yoav Gilad, Associate Professor of Human Genetics of the University of Chicago, and his research team reported that up to 40% of the differences in the expression of or activity patterns of genes between humans, chimpanzees, and rhesus monkeys can be explained by epigenetic mechanisms that determine when and how a gene's DNA code is transcribed to a messenger RNA molecule to produce the proteins. Dr. Gilad's team also determined that the epigenetic process of histone modification differs in all three species. In all three species, they found that transcription factor and histone modifications were identical only in 68% of regulatory elements in DNA segments that are regarded as promoter regions between apes and humans. The science of epigenetics shows how important these changes are to our total being. Judith Stern, professor of nutrition and internal medicine from the University of California at Davis, put it precisely when she said, "Genetics loads the gun, but epigenetics pulls the trigger." We all make lifestyle changes that will affect our family members long after we are gone through hereditary epigenetic changes to their genome. Parents actually have a genetic responsibility towards their children. We must guard our genome through proper life-enhancing choices that we can pass on to future generations. I am sure that through epigenetics and not genetics, both my sister and I were more susceptible to suffer from bulimia. We likely had epigenetic markings of starvation that led us to want to eat nonstop all of the sugar and fat-laden foods we can lay our hands on. Our maternal grandfather was a young Jewish boy raised in Germany. He was born in 1923 and was 15 years old at the time the Second World War broke out in Germany. He was separated from his family and suffered from severe starvation and hard physical work in the three concentration camps he survived, Auschwitz, Treblinka, and Dachau. He survived the war, but surely his experiences left epigenetic tags on his DNA that were not removed from the genome passed on to my mother and then to my sister and I. My mother has suffered from weight issues all of her life due to her love for fat and sugar-rich foods. Now science is showing us how we can change these epigenetic markings by choosing foods that help us physically change epigenetic markings so that we are not doomed to a life of ill health and obesity. Now, thank goodness, in most of the world, we have an almost unlimited supply of foods available readily for us. Therefore, we personally have the responsibility to make the right eating choices for our own health, but not only for our own health, but also for our future generations. Even if you already have children, by teaching them proper nutrition practices and making proper lifestyle choices, you are ensuring that they and their future generations will thrive. By understanding these implications, we hold responsibility for how we feed our children. Children learn best through imitation. The best way to teach them what to eat is to set a good example and explain your choices. Your children will choose to eat and to live their lives mainly by what they see you doing. Your choices today have heavy implications. By changing your dietary and lifestyle choices, you are certainly not only creating a better life for you and your family, but also for the future of the human race and for the world at large.